Can you say amen? Aren't you thankful that all those sins have been forgiven? Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. My, my, my. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many is thankful? Truly thankful. Really thankful. Testing 1, 2, 3. You ain't got no power. About this one. Red. Testing 1, 2, 3. I've been on the mountain with Jesus, and I've been in the valley so low, but not one time has he failed me.
Hallelujah.
Went to him with my trouble I go. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever, ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never, no, never make heaven my home. Can you relate to this? I've been on the mountain with Jesus. What a wonderful place. And I've been in the valley so low. Love this part. But not one time has he failed me. Went to him with my trouble I go. If you know it, sing it with me. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever, ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never, no, never make heaven my home. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Please don't ever, ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never, no, never make heaven my home. How many is glad that heaven is your home this morning? Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see you fine folks. Appreciate you coming out on this Sunday after holiday of Thanksgiving. Looks like that maybe some folks experienced a little turkey hangover. Amen, but we'll pray for them as well. I know we do have a lot of folks that are out of town visiting, but we're thankful that you are here and certainly thankful that the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Amen. How many is thankful that the Spirit of God is here? If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to go to the Psalms. I'd like to go to Psalm 27. And from the first five verses of Psalm 27, we would like to take our message text this morning. Very grateful for the Lord and all that He is and all that He has done for me. I feel so unworthy, but even in my unworthiness, I never ever want to fail to thank Him for what He has given me and what He has done for us and our family, and just always have a thankful heart, not just during the holiday season, but each and every day. Every morning when I wake up and put my feet on the floor and able to take a deep breath, I want to be thankful, man, that God has given me and spared me one more day to glorify and worship Him. From the writings of David the psalmist, 27 verses 1 through 5, thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. The psalmist says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Can we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful and grateful, God, for Your mercy, for Your grace, for Your overwhelming and abounding love. Father, for this opportunity that You've given us to gather together, for the desire that You've placed in the hearts of those who are here this morning. Father, our heart goes out, as well as our prayers, to those who are in need this morning, those who may be sick, those who are afflicted, those who are traveling. Father, I pray, God, for their safe keeping. Asking You now, Lord, to just bless this congregation. God, I pray that through Your messenger, God, You would speak to our hearts this morning. God, anoint these lips of clay as only a vessel and an oracle, God, that You might speak to our hearts, that we might be submissive and obedient to Your will and to Your word, and we'll be grateful and give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. One more hand clap for the Lord, and you may be seated. God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of a story that I heard about this pastor who came to a new community and just opened up a church that had been closed for a while in a little farming community. And he had been out asking folks to come. And the first Sunday he came, and he was there a little ahead of time getting everything ready. And it came to be church time, and one farmer came in and sat down on the back bench. Well, time got to going by, and finally it was several minutes after the time to start. It looked like there were nobody else going to come to the congregation, so the pastor goes back and he talks to the farmer, and he asks him, he said, "Well, what do you think?" He said, "I know that we've been trying to get a church started, but it looks like that you and I are the only ones showed up." He said, "Do you think I ought to have church and preach this morning?" And the farmer said, "Pastor, I don't know. I'm just a farmer." He said, "One thing I know," said, I got cows," and he said, "when it's time to feed those cows, if only one cow shows up, then I feed her." And the pastor said, "Well, that's a pretty good analogy." He said, "Okay, we'll just have church." So about an hour and a half later, after the pastor got through preaching, he goes back to the farmer sitting on the back pew, and he says, "Well, what do you think?" He said, "Pastor, I don't know. I'm just a farmer." He says, "But when I only have one cow that shows up to feed her," he said, "I don't dump the whole load on her." So I'll try not to dump the whole load on you this morning. Amen. But I do want to share with you what I do believe that the Lord has laid upon my heart from the writing of the Psalm of David. David is very, he's very truthful in his writings. He doesn't hold anything back. When he knows that he has disobeyed the Lord, he writes it down. When he knows that he needs help, he writes it down. When he sees that his enemies are coming, he writes for help. He's not one that is ashamed or thinks that he's too big to ask God's help and God's forgiveness in each and every matter of his life. Here we find that David expresses several things in this particular chapter, and the first five is what I want to dwell on this morning. If I had a message title this morning, it would be very simply, "One Thing." Everybody say that with me, "One Thing." Notice that David does not say that he will only have one desire. Pay very close attention.
but he will only have one desire that he will continually seek after. Now, I'm not here to say that we're only to ask God for one thing. Many, many times we have to find ourselves on our knees in prayer asking for God to help us. Many times we have many desires in our life. And I pray that our desires will be cohesive with God. Pray that our will be His will, or His will, amen, or that our will measure up with His will. And pray that the desires that we do have, amen, will be intact with what God wants us to have. And I believe David bears that out. Many, many times he had other desires. But this is the one desire, he said, that I will seek after. I will continually throughout any situation continue to seek after this desire in my life. Even when other desires may come up in my life, I will pray that God will help me. But this is the one desire in my life that I'm going to focus on, and I'm going to continue to seek after, amen, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, meaning spiritually, that he may have an everlasting relationship with God. No matter what problems, what trials he may incur, amen, he wants to say true and faithful to the God. Three things here are described or mentioned by David. First of all, in the very first verse, he said, the Lord is my light. How many is thankful that the Lord is our light? In a dark and gloomy world, how many knows that we need light? And I'm not talking about the light that comes from the bulbs and the light that comes from the electricity, but we need the light of the knowledge and wisdom and the counsel of God. Many times we find ourselves in a situation where things seem dark and gloomy, and we don't know which way to go. We don't know what direction to take in our life. But how many knows that the power of God can illuminate our life? Amen. It can shine a light on where we need to go, a spiritual light on what decision we need to make, on what direction we need to take in our life, and know that God will always lead and guide and direct us. And David counted on this, and he even mentioned that. He said, the Lord is my light. When things around me are dark, when things around me are confusing, when perplexity is in my life, and when I don't know which way to turn, I can turn to the light of God. And God always shines a light in my life so that I may not stumble and fall, so I'll understand where the pitfalls that Satan has placed in my life. As long as there's a light on the obstacles in your life, then we have no excuse, amen, when those obstacles are there, because by the light of God, we can go around those different obstacles that are in our way. The second thing that he mentions is salvation. And he mentions the salvation because he knows that there is nothing else in the world, amen, that can produce salvation. His salvation, his very life depends on his relationship with God. This is the reason that it is so guarded. This is the reason that he finds it first and foremost, the one thing in his life that he cannot forget, the one thing in his life that he cannot lay aside, is his relationship with God, his dependency on God. Because David, if anyone knew how dependent one would be on God, it was David, because from a very, very early age, David became dependent on God. But the one thing that he found to always be true is that God will always make a way. Amen? Even when there seemeth not a way, if we continue to trust in God, not only is he our light, but he is in fact our salvation. And he goes on and mentions the third thing. He says he is our strength. Man, how many remembers the story? And I would imagine many, many times as David began to reach adulthood and began to be anointed king of Israel, I imagine many, many times there were situations that were pressing in his life, decisions that had to be made. In fact, if you're in authority, And you're having to protect your land, and you're having to send folks out on the battlefield, that's a heavy, heavy thing to be on our conscience and on our hearts and on our minds. And I would imagine that David would pray, God, protect the men of Israel, protect the armies, and if we have to send them in to fight and to protect our homeland, God, I pray that you would be with them. And I believe that he would probably often think back that on the days that when he came to the battle and his brothers and Saul were there, and they were facing the enemy of the Philistines, and the giant Goliath was out in the valley, and he was proclaiming that he was the champion, and inviting someone from the camp of Israel to come out. And David didn't understand the hesitation, amen, of the children of Israel. He knew that as strong and as mighty and as big as that giant was, there was one on our side. Amen. We need to remember that. Sometimes that giant looks awful big. Sometimes that giant looks like that he is indestructible. But let me tell you something. We need to remember those times who's on our side. Amen. And our God is greater than any problem, greater than any giant. And David said, I will go. Not in my strength, but in the strength and the might of Almighty God. And he even told Goliath, said, you come to me with spear and sword, but I come to you how? In the name of the Lord. Yes, David realized that God is our strength. And the three things that he mentioned, light, we find in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 19 through 20. Isaiah wrote, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Also, we find that as he mentioned salvation, I want us to turn to Exodus chapter number 15 and verse number 2, if we could. Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 2. The song that Moses and the children of Israel sang unto the Lord. Verse 2. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. David also mentioned, thirdly, the strength of God. Again, let us go to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 12, and read verse number 2. Isaiah, chapter number 12, and verse number 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Now we find three very common subject matters that David wrote about. Light, salvation, and strength. We also find two other characters in the Word of God, Moses and Isaiah. And these did not live in the same time and the same era. There were different ages and years apart from them. But the one thing that had not changed was the mighty Word of God. Can you not see a continuation? Can you not see a sameness and a singleness of God's Word? Even in Moses, as Moses began to proclaim that God would be their strength and God would be their salvation, and that carried through to Isaiah the prophet, the great prophet that God spoke to. The words of Isaiah are so wonderful and so illuminating in our life if we will adhere to them and know that God is the same with Moses as he was with Isaiah. And now we find David writing the very similar things. There is a continuity. There is a singleness. There is a oneness. Amen. That God's word never changes. Amen. If he was for your grandmother, he'll still be with you. If he answered your prayer in the past, how many knows he's still a prayer answering God? If he saved your daddy, how many knows his salvation is still for the generation that we're living in today? Thank God that he does not change. Thank God that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. It would be awful if God's word and his direction changed every year, because we wouldn't know where to turn. But thank God, I want you to know this morning, that I serve the same God that Moses sang about. I serve the same God that Isaiah prophesied about. I serve the same God that David sang songs about. He is my God. He is my light. He is my strength. And thank God, he is my salvation. Hallelujah. And then David gets into the first, or the verse number 4. First of all, I want to analyze just a minute. I want to back up for just a few minutes if I might. There's so much in these 5 verses. Time does not allow, nor do I have the ability or even the knowledge to go into the depthness of these 5 verses. I encourage you to read. I encourage you to study. I encourage you to reference these wonderful words that David wrote. And I believe they came from his heart. I believe that he was pouring out his heart to God. First of all, it is a type and a shadow of the type of prayer that we are to pray to God. How many knows that even the disciples in the closeness that they had with Jesus asked him, how do we pray? Yeah. Teach us to pray. Man, how many knows that prayer is not a recitation? How many knows that prayer is just not something that we check off that we've done our to-do list that day? Prayer is an honor. Prayer is a privilege. To be able to communicate, amen, with the Creator of heaven and earth, with the Creator, with the strength, the light, and the salvation that David talked about and Isaiah talked about and Moses sang about. What a privilege it is. It doesn't matter the time or day. It doesn't matter the situation that may arise in our life. We have the privilege, we have the opportunity to pray to our God, and not only to pray to our God, but listen with attentive ears, amen, that God will speak to us. How many knows that communication is just not a one-way street? As we pray to God, we need to open up our heart and open up our ears and listen to what God would direct to us. And this is wonderful as we find in an analogy of prayer. First of all, verse 2. David begins after he described what God is to him. Verse number 2. This is a verse of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. We have talked about it in our men's meeting, how that we get into a set pattern of prayer and we think that we have to mention so many different things, but we've often said, wonder what a prayer would be if we ask God for nothing. Just a prayer of thanksgiving. Oh, we got plenty. Come on, if we can think about the things that we need to thank God for, it'll take more than just a 15-minute prayer. In my life alone, I could never thank Him enough for what He has brought me through, what He has already done. But sometimes I think maybe when I go to God, all I need to do is just give Him thanks. Thank You, Lord, for all that You've done. Thank You, God, for salvation. Thank You that You are my light. Thank You, God, when You give me strength when I had no strength. And David is talking here about the thanksgiving, the victory over the enemy. Amen. We pray for God to give us victory over the enemy, but how many times do we, after the fact, go back to God and say, Lord, I want to thank You for giving me victory over that enemy. Whatever that enemy may be in your life, whatever that circumstance may be, after God has given us victory, after God has opened the door of opportunity, after God has healed you or blessed you, do we take that opportunity to go back to Him and say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for what You have just done in my life. David points out here in verse 2 that is a prayer of thanksgiving. Verse 3 is a prayer of steadfast faithfulness. Listen to what David says. Though a host should encamp against me. Have you ever been there? Have you ever thought everything in the world is falling down around me right now? Have you ever said or even thought, I don't believe I could take anything else? I don't believe I can take anything else that happens. One more thing and I'm going to lose my last nerve. Amen. I used to get on Mother's last nerve. I wondered how many she had because I was always on her last nerve. And I knew to back off because I knew explosion time was about to happen. Because after that last nerve goes, buddy, you better hide. Amen. How many times do we know that? Lord, I can't take any more. I can't stand any more. But David said, though a host encamp round about me. Sometimes we can't even get over one issue one problem, but though a host, David said, you know what? Though a host should encamp around me, he said, my heart shall not fear. Not because I'm David, not because I'm a king, not because I've been there before, but because my God has never left me and he never will leave me. He's my light. He's my salvation. He's my strength. So why should I fear though a host encamp around about me? Because I've got something greater than anything that comes against me. So I'm going to be steadfast in my faith. I'm going to be continuous in my praise and worship to God. He said, my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. Not in myself, not in my ability, but I am confident in God's power. I am confident in God's keeping power. I don't know. The writer of that song, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. How many is thankful for that? I don't know who wrote that song, but I would imagine that he'd been through some turbulent times. I would imagine that maybe some things surprised him that he didn't know that was going to happen. Have you ever been there? Have you ever woke up on a Monday morning and said, Lord, have mercy, I didn't expect this. I had no idea this was going to happen. That came out of left field. It doesn't matter if it comes out of left field, center field, or right field. I got a God. I got a God who's going to be with me. I got a God who's going to protect me. I got a God who's going to give me strength. He's going to be my light. Thank God he is my salvation. And this will I not fear, because I've got confidence that God is going to see me through anything. Amen. And David began to write that. He will be steadfast. So remember that. A prayer of victory over the enemy. A prayer of steadfast faithfulness. Lord, make me to be steadfast. Help me to be unmovable by the things that would move me in this world. Father, the only thing that I want moving me is your Spirit. Hallelujah. I want to be steadfast and faithful to you. And then David begins to mention in verse number 4. And can I tell you, this had a great impact upon my life and upon my prayer life, because there's some words in there that we need to pay particular attention to. Who knows that words are important? Words are in the Word of God for us to analyze, to understand, and obey. Amen. And David says one thing. You know, the question has arisen over the years. With a hypothetical situation. Maybe you have heard that. Maybe you've even mentioned that yourself. But I've had this come up more than one or two times. If your home was burning down, you only had one opportunity to go in and retrieve one thing, now what would that be? And think about that. And, of course, naturally, the common response is family. But this isn't a hypothetical situation where the family is safe and they're protected, but there's one memento, there's one heirloom, there's one thing that is particularly of great importance to you in your home. Not that everything else is not important, that's not the thing, but you only got one opportunity to go back into that home and retrieve one thing, and then the fire is going to be so hot that you won't be able to return. And can I tell you, it makes one begin to think, what is it? First of all, we want to grab it all. But you only got a chance to bring one thing out. And I came to this conclusion that I can't plan that. Because in the height of the excitement and in the height of the adrenaline flowing, I don't really know what I would go in and grab. Maybe it would be a photo. Maybe it would be a family photo. Maybe it would be my granddaddy's Bible. I don't know. There's so many things that are such importance to me that I don't know if I could narrow it down to one thing. But David says, there's one thing in my life that takes precedence over everything else in my life. And that got me to thinking. That got me to being concerned about my walk with God and about what really is important in my life. Not that, again, David's not saying, I don't ever have any more desires. I think as children of God, we have the Bible to back it up that tells us he will give us the desires of our heart. Can I just see as a witness this morning, has God ever given you a desire of your heart? Anybody? There's several hands going up. God, he will. It's his good pleasure to give us Amen. And we need to pray in His accordance. Amen. Not necessarily in our will. But there's been many, many times that I've asked God for a favor. I've asked God to do something in my life. But that's not the one thing that I continually seek after. David said, you know, I've asked Him for strength. I've asked Him for light. I've asked Him for salvation. But there's one thing. He says, there's one thing in my life that is of more importance than, and I believe David probably wrote this during his time as king. Look what he could have asked for, just like Solomon, his son, given the opportunity. Ask anything that you want, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon, in his closeness to God, said, Lord, just give me strength and knowledge and wisdom to govern this, thy people. God was so pleased with that prayer that He gave him not only his petition, but He blessed him with great wisdom and great riches as well as the wisdom. But David said, there's one thing. There's one thing in my life. And I began to think about that singleness, that one thing that overrides everything else in my life. Don't get me wrong. I am thankful for what God has blessed me with. I'm thankful for the things that we have been able to amass in our home. I'm thankful for all of those things, many of those things. In fact, I would say all of those things I attribute to God. Even though He may have given us the strength to work for Him, the knowledge and all of that, I still attribute it to Him. They're His blessings that He has given me. And I thank Him for all of those. But I begin to question, can I honestly say that there is one thing in my life that is more important than everything else in my life, than everything else in my home, than everything else in my driveway, than everything else that God has so wondrously blessed us with? David surmised, there's one thing that's more important than riches. There's one thing that's more important than greatness. There's one thing that's more important than power. There's one thing that's even more important than health. And how many knows when our health starts to go bad, amen, we're praying to God. I'm the very first one, Lord, I don't want to hurt. I don't want to be sick. I believe in prayer, and I believe in healing. How many believe in healing? How many believe we've got a God that heals? But this really began to weigh on my heart. God, can I absolutely single out this one desire that's in my heart and in my life that supersedes and is greater than anything else in my life, in my spiritual walk with You? So much so that I will continually seek after. Now that's what got my attention. Sometimes as we pray, you know, God answers the petition, He answers the prayer, He makes a way, and believe it or not, it's a human thing. Sometimes we just sort of take it and forget it. It was for a certain time, it was for a certain need, and sometimes we may remember it in a time of testimony, but by and large, many times that we receive from God, and a little time later in our life, it's soon forgotten. It's somewhere up there in our mind, but it's not readily that we're praising God every single day. Maybe there's other things that maybe we do praise God every day. But David said, there's one thing in my life that it doesn't matter what I face, how old I am in this life, or whatever direction I take, this one thing that I am going to continuously and spiritually seek after. Now, I like the word seek. I'm finding out at my age, I spend a lot of time seeking. Not necessarily seeking God, I do that, but seeking things I can't put my hands on. Some of you haven't reached that age yet. You know exactly where you put everything. There's a place for everything and a thing in its place. I'm finding I don't know where that place is. And I put it somewhere I know. I just saw it a day or two ago. And I continue to seek after. In fact, I was doing that this, and I still hadn't found what I was looking for. And it's in there somewhere. And you know what? When I'll find it, I won't be looking for it. Well, there it is. Amen. But there will come a time in my life I'll probably just quit seeking for it. But David said, not this one thing. If it is of that importance, if it does actually take precedence over every other desire that he has ever had in his life, and he has made that commitment, he has made that petition to God, I will continually seek after this one thing as long as I live. As long as I exist. Regardless of circumstance, regardless of situation, I'm going to seek for it. I'm going to continue to ask you for it. I'm going to continue to ask me to help in that, in this matter. And that one thing is that I will dwell, or that I may dwell, in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Forever. Not just when I need something. Not just when things are going good and I want to praise you. But every day of my life, I want this to be first and foremost in my relationship with you. I'm going to continue to seek after it. Because I'll be honest with you. As a Christian, some days it's harder. It's harder to get in touch with God. Not because he's any farther off, but because our mind is not where it needs to be. Sometimes it's great difficulty for us to believe. And when we've believed before, it seems so simple. But for whatever reason, this particular matter has called us to scratch our head and understand, God, help me to believe you. But David said, this one thing I will continually seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, we know that David found comfort in the temple. We know that he found solace in the tabernacle. When all the cares of this world would begin to mount up with him, he found a place, amen, of refreshing, and a place of just total worship and the greatness of God's Spirit as he entered into the tabernacle of God. It was a place where he could go. It was a place where he could forget the other things that were around him. But I believe that David actually means this more than just a natural tabernacle. Thank God for the house of praise that he has blessed us with. And I will attest to this. Sometimes it is easier for me to seemingly get in connection with God in the house that God has blessed us with. It's not because that God doesn't live outside the house. Surely he does. But sometimes entering to the tabernacle of God, entering into his house, causes me to focus more on God and his Spirit. And David kind of felt that. But I think it's deeper than that. I think what he really referring to is that continuing and that everlasting relationship with God. Let me never, ever take that for granted. Let me never, ever get so complacent that I don't praise him and thank him for the singleness of his Spirit in my life. And for the light, and for the strength, and for the salvation that comes with that relationship of God. So much so that it rises to the top of my desires. It pales in comparison to all of my other desires. It is the one thing that I cannot be without. It is the one thing that I will continually seek for. It is the one thing that I will declare is the most important thing of my life, is to have an ongoing relationship with Almighty God. So that I will continue to seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. We know that we can't dwell in this physical building all the days of our life. Be impossible with the different things that we have, the families, the commitments, the jobs, all the other things that go along with the life that we have. But that doesn't mean that we can't dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of my life. So I'm thinking that David was talking about something greater than just a house of stone or brick or wood. He was talking about a spiritual habitation that Isaiah prophesied about, that Moses sang about, that David continually wrote about in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Glory to God. He leads me beside the still waters, and He leads me into the green pastures and all of those wonderful things that come with a relationship with God. This is what I seek after. This is my greatest desire. This is the one thing that I want for the rest of my life, is a continuous relationship with God. Father, never let me leave me alone. God, I want to walk with You. I can't walk without You holding my hand. I can't operate, God, without Your guidance. I don't know which way to go. I'm only human, but I need Your guidance. And I need Your light. And I need Your strength. And You are my salvation. And I will continually think on these things for the rest of my life. Then He says, to behold the beauty of the Lord. I want you to think on that just a minute. Do we envision the Lord? Do we see Him as a great taskmaster? Do we see Him as a vengeful and wrathful deity? Or do we see Him in the beauty of His holiness? In the forgiveness and the mercy and the grace that He extends to us. I'm overwhelmed with the amount of grace that God gives to me alone. Let alone every human being that has ever taken their sinful life to God for forgiveness. It is amazing to me. Whoever wrote Amazing Grace, it truly is amazing. I believe they got a spiritual picture of the beauty of God. To come into His presence, to behold His beauty, to behold His sweetness, to behold His greatness and His love. Amen. That completely overwhelms my ability to fathom. David said, that's what I want. I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire, to ask Him in His temple. God is not a God that's far off. His hand and arm is not so short that He cannot reach down. He has given us the honor and privilege to inquire of Him. Do we take advantage of that? To ask God to lead us. To ask God to help us. To ask God to direct us in the way that we should live our life. And David said, this is what I yearn for. This is what I desire. And then he gives a little bit of history. How many knows? How many thankful for history with God? You know, I'm not a writer, but if I could write a book, I would want it to be all about what God has done for me in my life. I found out that sometimes when I'm trying to convey that to others, I forget little tidbits that God has done. But given an opportunity and time, I would like to just write those down. All the many times, all the many things. The time that I just needed a shoulder to cry on. The time that I just needed strength to pick me up. The times that I needed an open door, an opportunity, and God was there for me. It's too numerous for me to even convey. Amen. But David said, Lord, I want to tell You, for in the time of trouble, He hides me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Not that He puts me out there on my own, but He hides me in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle. Those are precious, precious words. Shall He hide me? And there's times that He shall set me upon a rock. The one thing that rises in importance. The one thing that I always want to be at the top of my list, that takes priority and precedence over everything else, Brother Jim. Everything else. Because I'm a firm believer in the Word of God, and the Word of God tells me to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. then He'll add these other things. Again, it's not to tell us that we should never, ever have any other desires before God, because that's not Bible. God has to ask and you shall receive. He tells us so many times, pray ye one for another. All of these things are asking and petitioning God. But according to David, and I want to have that mindset, the one thing, say that with me this morning, the one thing that I want to be of more importance in my life, amen, is my desire to dwell in His spiritual house, in the house of the Lord forever. That everlasting relationship with God. He promises He won't leave us nor forsake us. I pray that we won't leave or forsake Him. Continue in that relationship, that wonderful relationship that God has provided for those that love Him. One thing, Lord, help me to focus on that one thing. I love you this morning. You're such a blessing. I know it would have been very, very easy not to come this morning. It would have been very, very easy to sit back and relax. But you came to the house of God because it was important to you. And because your relationship with God is important. Let us never, ever fail to thank God for His goodness. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is the one thing in your life truly and really a desire to have that everlasting relationship with God? Is it the most important thing in your life? David said it's not the only thing, but it's the most important thing. Do you guard it? Are you thankful for it? Are you in an appreciative spirit for what God has done for us? If it's not the most important thing in your life, I pray that it will become the single most important thing in your life. And you'll be surprised when you put God first, how He puts everything else in your life in perfect order. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if there's one this morning that needs prayer, please come forward. There's one this morning that thinks maybe your desire is not where it really needs to be, you need to move it up, then why don't you come and rededicate? Say, Lord, rearrange these things in my life. Make my relationship with You the number one priority in my life. Is there anyone that would like this pastor to pray for you this week? While every head is bowed, just lift your hand. God bless those hands. I see those hands and I'll be praying. I love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Before we dismiss, I do not recall a time, maybe once or twice in my ministry, that I've ever, ever said anything. And the devil's really, really kind of wrestled with me about saying this morning. Because anytime you're fixing to proclaim about God doing something, the devil jumps up on your shoulder and says, what if it doesn't happen? I mean, he's ever been there. But tonight, and this, again, this I have to attribute this to God. But if you really desire victory in your life, I believe tonight that God has designated a night for victory. I'm going to share some scripture with you tonight, if God allows. And again, this is, you know, Brother Eddie, this is very uncommon that I announce something in the future. But I feel so impressed in my spirit to tell you tonight, if you've got something in your life that you want victory over, or if you just want victory, if you just want what you once tasted, then I want you to come tonight and be a part of this service, because I believe. And it's not because I said it either. Don't think that. Not because Eddie's going to do something miraculous. It ain't happening. They can't do miracles. But I believe that God speaks sometimes. And I believe that God uses these things to let us know that He is about to do something in somebody's life tonight. So I want us to come. I want us to pray. I want us to seek God. Because I believe if you really, really, really want victory, if you've been in a lackadaisical mood with spirit, a spirit of complacency, a spirit of comfort, or if there's something in your heart or in your mind that you can't seem to get over, I believe tonight is the night that God's going to release you from it. Amen. And I believe we're going to have a time of victory around here. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.